Okay. Thank you, Ron. It's good to have everybody with us. And I thank you for staying with us because we did a pretty goofy thing there. And the thing was, when I was going to go back out as Ronnie, it started asking me questions I couldn't answer. And so it kicked me off. And I guess that's the firewall that they've got set up for somebody taking the room over, probably. But so I didn't know the security question, so here I sit, dumb me, you know, and so I had to go completely out. And then I got kicked offline when I went completely out. So thank you for holding on. Turn with me back to Jeremiah 26. I had a real good study. We may cut it a little bit short tonight, but there's a lot going on here in Jeremiah 26. And this is going to be study 76 on our study of walk. And we've already been over where the word was used in the chapter, but still there's so much here that needs to be talked about, I guess, and understood that I certainly wanted to continue the chapter and get through that before we move on to another portion of it. And so we got down through verse 9 the last time, and I want to go back and I want to read verse 8 and 9, and with them we'll get started back as to with our regular lesson. 26th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 8. It says, "Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die." So he was sent there by the Lord to prophesy, and what he prophesied they didn't like. They didn't want to hear it. And so their judgment was that he should die for what he said. Then we get to verse 9. It says, "Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like shallow, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord." So he was told to go into the temple and prophesy this. And of course, the chief priest and the prophets were there, those that God could not use anymore. They had profaned themselves, but yet they were still there, trying to do the work that they thought that they were supposed to do, but yet it wasn't that God wanted. And so, you know, God then, he had raised up Jeremiah to do this work, and of course, at this point, here, Jeremiah, as we said last week, was 35 years old, and he started when he was 13 years old, prophesying for the Lord. And you know, he had a problem with it because he didn't like all this gloom and doom that was coming out of his mouth that the Lord was preparing for these people, but yet, he tried to stop, but he couldn't stop, so. We're still going on. And then in verse 10, it's kind of a little telling thing here. It says, "When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house." And of course, when they got done with the Lord's house, they built a new gate there, And so they came up from the palace, if you will. I guess they came forth from the king's house, or from the palace to the house of the Lord, to the temple court where Jeremiah was prophesying. And they sat down, or they took seating. They came in and sat down. And of course, I guess this was the next generation of those that were going to rule there, as far as I can tell. And it says, in the entry of the new gate, or the east gate, I think most people agree that this was what they call the east gate there of the Lord's house. And so in all of this mix comes in these princes, the next generation that are going to come forth. And and certainly the Jeremiah needed some defense here, because he was in dire straits. And they were threatening to kill him. And then it said, then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes. So the priest and the prophets brought the princes up to speed in their judgment, as they were sitting in judgment of Jeremiah. They told the princes what Jeremiah had said, and the reason that they came to this position that they were taking. And and it says, and all the people saying, so they were all felt that there was some need or some use or purpose of an agreement here. And what their agreement was this Ish man, this Ish here, is worthy to die. And so they had already made a decision that death judgment is for this man, and that was the charge that they had him charged with. And for the effect is death, and that's the process of judging in man's court. So this charge that they charged him with is called krisis, and that's man's judging in a man's court is really truly what it amounts to. There in 11 said, for he hath prophesied against this city. So again, they brought up the fact that he had ill spoken against God's city, against Jerusalem, against that place there on Mount Moriah where they were. And it says, as you have heard with your ears. So they didn't hear him say it, but they heard the chief priest and the prophet say that he had prophesied against the city, as you have heard with your ears. You heard our testimony of what he said, and you heard, but you didn't believe. And so this verse of scripture here is the 10th type of Jeremiah being the type of Christ. And this is covered in Matthew 26, 59 through 68. So I'm going to ask you to keep your finger here, put you a bookmark here in Jeremiah 26, and we're going to go to Matthew 26 and look at verses 59 through 68. That's on page 1374. 26th chapter of Matthew, and this is the 12th time in the book of Jeremiah that Jeremiah was the type of Christ. It showed him as being the type of Christ. We're going to look at verse 59. And we're going to see some things here that corresponds back to what we just read. It said, now the chief priests, there are 59. Well, let's go back. Let's see. Yeah, 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. So here was the situation of the false witness for Christ. And so, you know, they were looking for some way that they could kill it. It said, but found none, verse 60, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at the last came two false witnesses. So they tried and they tried and they tried till they found somebody that could make their case for them against Christ. 61, and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. So that was their testimony. And took what was said for something else. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answer thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? So he was wanting Jesus to say something to rebut that. And it says in 63, but Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes. They made him that angry, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard him, his blasphemy. So, you know, when he made the statement, then, you know, they took it as blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him, and others smote him with the palms of their hand, saying, prophesy to us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? So you see, here is the likeness of which Jeremiah was going through with these people. Now, I don't think they struck him, but, you know, they had put him in stocks before, and he'd spent a night in stocks, but it didn't take much for them to deem him guilty of talking against Jerusalem and talking against the temple. And so, in verse 12, we have, 12 through 15, we have Jeremiah's message back to him again. So he is going to answer them somewhat, like Christ did there, to the charge that he'd been charged with. So let's go back to Jeremiah 26 and look at verses 12 through 15. So here we go. It says, then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. So now the princes have heard it from his mouth also. They heard it from the chief priest. They heard it from the prophets. They were with the chief priest, but now they have heard him say that God, that Jehovah had sent him there to prophesy this prophecy, that the words that were coming out of his mouth were that of God, God's choice. So they did not personally hear Jeremiah to begin with, but he spoke to them and he repeated it. So Jeremiah, he laid all his marbles out there on the table. He repeated what he had said. And it says, and to all the people, saying, so there was no one there that was going to be left out. They, everybody heard with their own ears. And he says this, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house. So Jehovah sent me to foretell that they had profaned the temple. That was the charge that God had against them, and against the city, and against Jerusalem, because it says, from all the words that you have heard from your priest and your prophets, you know, you have heard these. And so he says, therefore, in 13, now amend your ways and your doings. This was going to be a situation that one more time they were going to be given a chance. Therefore now, therefore is having been warned, because he says that Jehovah sent me to foretell that you guys have done all this profaning and that you are no longer any good. And so they wouldn't believe that. So he says, therefore, or because of that, or having been warned by Jeremiah, he says, amend your ways. And that is to make sound your ways. 31:90. In the Hebrew, it's yotab. In the Strong's, it says, amend your ways, or make sound your ways and your doings. You literally make sound your manner of life. Get back in the walk that the Lord would have you to get back into, to be in. He said, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And obey there is to listen to. To hear and follow. You know, if you get a command, when you hear it, you know, if you don't heed it and follow it, you know, it's of no benefit to anyone. But he says, to make sound your manner of life and to listen to heed and to follow the voice of the Lord your God, Jehovah Elohim. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. And you know, we got to go back, really go back all the way to verse 3 in order to remember really what was said. And in verse 3 it says, if so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of this evil which I propose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. So God had set forth something in his mind that he purposed to do that he didn't want to do, but he was going to do it anyway if they didn't repent of their evil ways. And he says, you know, if they will repent, I will repent me. And that, I guess that's a great thing that God can certainly do that he can change his mind in that sense and give these people an extra chance. He said, and the Lord, they told that the Lord would repent him of the evil that he had pronounced against you, that it had been told by Jeremiah. So Jeremiah goes back and he says, as for me, Jehovah's prophet, behold, or see now, I am in your hands. So Jeremiah is talking about himself now. He said, you got me as a prisoner. So I can't do anything about that at this point. He says, do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. So he says, you can punish me. You can do with me whatever you see, what seems good to you. And he's talking about their rationale here that fitted his charge. And of course, he shouldn't have been charged with anything. But when they heard what they heard, they felt that it was necessary for them to stand up against this man because they felt that he wasn't really a prophet anyway. But, you know, I guess that'll change a little bit as we go down the road and get involved in the furtherance of the study. And we get down to verse 15. So he said, I'm in your hands, do with me as seemeth good, meet unto you, because he knew there wasn't going to be nothing good come from these individuals because God had already pronounced them unfit to do his work in the place that they were in. And they had profaned the temple, the house of God. It says in 15, but know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. And so this is a pretty intense verse of scripture. It says, but know ye for certain. He says, you know, understand my words as sure as you now live. It says, as sure as you got life, you better understand these words because they're not my words. That if you put me to death, he says, should you slay me, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves. And I'd like for you to turn with me, keep your finger there or whatever, and turn with me back to Deuteronomy 19 because we're going to read three verses in Deuteronomy 19. And this is on page 265 if you have a companion Bible. 265, let me see if I can find it. Yeah. Okay, Deuteronomy 19, we're going to look at 10 through 13. Okay? And this is where they set up these cities of refuge way back, you know, according to the things of the law. And it says in verse 10 that innocent blood. Now, this is what Jeremiah just told these people. You know, if you kill me, you're going to shed innocent blood. And that blood is going to be upon the city and upon the inhabitants thereof. So it's not just going to be a one man, one thing deal. God's going to take his vengeance there. But it's already written, Deuteronomy 19:10, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. So they're all going to share in it if it happens. This is what Jeremiah told them. But if any man hate his neighbor, and he lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally, that he die, and flee into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. And thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. So there was a provision put in place about shedding innocent blood. And so Jeremiah has used that as a check stop in this thing that he was been charged of. And so this is why we went there for that particular part of it. So he said, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves. You will become personal manslayers. And it said, and upon this city, and we talked about verse 6, and we won't go back there for the sake of time, but it says the city is going to be a curse, and it's going to be a curse to the nations. And verse 6, it talks about the city also being a curse, and upon this city a curse. And upon the inhabitants of the people within the walls, they're going to be a curse for them too. So nobody is going to get left out there. It says, for of a truth, and that of a truth there is the Strong's 571, and it is MS, and it means to build upon as a certainty. A truth is a certainty. And God's word is layer upon layer. And that's the reason we can go back and look at these things and see why these people would use this. Because if they knew God's word, it is layered upon layer. And it's all truth. And God's word perfectly fits, whether it be one layer, several layers, or a bunch of layers. Yeah, that's just the way it is. And he says, the Lord has sent me there. For truth the Lord has sent me unto you. He's put me into your hands. And he's put me before you to hear the words from my lips that Jehovah chooses to give to you. To speak all these words in your ears. And so he restates that Jehovah's words comes from my lips directly to your ears, to for you to hear. You don't have, you know, these people didn't have to go out and say, I heard somebody say that he said it, but guess what? They can't do that. And so this was Jeremiah's message to those that had charged him. And this too makes him the type of Christ for the 11th time in Jeremiah 26. And so we need to go back to Matthew again. And I want to look at Matthew 27, and we're going to start at verse 1 and go through 25, and we're going to read that, and then we'll probably close. But I wanted you to see that in Matthew. Well, I want you to see the type of Christ that Jeremiah was there, and we'll just read it from verse 1 to 25 because that makes the great sense of 27. Matthew 27 says this: When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Oh, same situation. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. So he knew that he had done wrong by the law. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. They said, Well, you know, we don't want to have no part of that. But you need to see to it yourself. You know, whatever you need to do. And so Judas, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself, as it says here in Matthew 27. And we won't get into that, but I think we all understand the situation. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, since it is the price of blood. I know your Bible says, because it is the price of blood. But they knew that it was the price of blood. So they foreknew that. So it basically should have been sin. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field, wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah. I know your book says Jeremy, but it's Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him, that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. So this was spoken by Jeremiah, but it says it wasn't written either by Jeremiah or Zechariah, but spoken by Jeremiah. And I thought that was kind of unusual also. But it's a quote here that he did say that. And it said, And he gave them for the potter's field as the Lord had appointed me. And Jesus stood before. Okay, let me turn the page. And the governor came, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. So Jesus said, You said it. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witnessed against thee? And 14 says, and he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor whom want they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, who will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ or Messiah? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he sat down on the judgment seat, listen to this, his wife sent to him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Do you not think they were powers at work on both sides of this argument? Sure they were. So she